From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to prioritize community participation in new capital development. Indonesian Finance Minister discusses climate finance and sustainable development. Four U.S. foreign ministers concerned about South China Sea situation. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo underlined that local community participation must be prioritized in developing Indonesia's new capital Nusantara in East Kalimantan. As reported by Antara News Agency on Monday, acting head of the Nusantara Capital City Authority Basuki Hadimulyono, after attending an internal meeting with President Jokowi at the Nusantara Presidential Palace, said that the community around the new city should not feel marginalized, displaced, or even evicted. He said, within the authority's structure is a deputy who will ensure community involvement in the city planning. Previously, President Jokowi said that Nusantara development positively impacted economic growth in the surrounding areas. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati attended the G20 Third Finance Ministers and Central Governors meeting in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, last weekend. A statement from the Ministry of Finance on Monday wrote Sri Mulyani discussed strategies to prepare financing to achieve goals related to climate and sustainable development. Sri Mulyani said that infrastructure is the main key in development, especially for Indonesia, as an archipelagic country with high biodiversity that continues to grow. However, the big challenge is the impact of climate change. In another session, Sri Mulyani discussed developing financing mechanism to support sustainable development. Indonesian President-elect Prabowo Subianto and chair of the All Indonesian Football Association PSSI, Erick Thohir, met with the president of the International Olympic Committee IOC, Thomas Bach, in French, to discuss Indonesia's potential to host international sporting events in the future, including the Olympics. As stated on his social media account on Sunday, Thohir said, Indonesia has been trusted to host various international sporting events, including the 2023 Under-17 Football World Cup, the 2023 Basketball World Championship, and the 2018 ASEAN Games. Thohir also accompanied Prabowo to meet the president of the International Football Federation, FIFA, Gianni Infantino, to discuss extensive football cooperation between the two. On Sunday, Infantino said on FIFA's official website that they discussed FIFA's working relationship with Indonesia and the promising progress that Indonesia has made recently. Infantino also touched on Indonesia's warm welcome and success in hosting the Under-17 World Cup in 2023, the first FIFA tournament held in the country. Indonesia is intensifying efforts to protect Sumatran tigers through community engagement and conservation partnerships, including officials at Bukit Barisan Selatan National Park in Lampung. As reported by Antara News Agency, during the Global Tiger Day 2024 event in Jakarta on Sunday, the head of Bukit Barisan Selatan National Park, Ismanto, highlighted the park's collaboration with partners to safeguard Sumatran tigers. Beyond securing the conservation area, the park focuses on community education to shift local perspective on wildlife to transform the negative mindset of the people in positive ones. Besides that, he believed that improving local livelihood is a key strategy to reduce human-tiger conflict. The officials hope to minimize negative interaction with tigers by providing the locals with alternative income sources. Let's move on to the international news, where the foreign ministers of the United States, Japan, Australia and India on Monday expressed serious concerns over the situation in the South China Sea. As reported by AFP, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and his counterparts in the so-called Quad grouping issued a joint statement calling for a free and open Pacific after talks in Tokyo. The statement did not name China directly but referenced a series of recent confrontations between Chinese and Philippine vessels in the disputed South China Sea. The group also condemned North Korea's recent missiles launch. Blinken is on a tour of Asia-Pacific countries to reinforce regional cooperation in the face of China's growing assertiveness in the South China Sea and other China moves. The Quad talks in Tokyo, the first since September, included foreign ministers such as Japanese Yoko Kamikawa, India's S. Jaishankar, and Australia's Penny Wong. A landslide caused by flooding in central China's Hunan province destroyed a guest house and killed 15 people on Sunday. Chinese media CCTV reported as monitored by AFP. Meanwhile, Xinhua News Agency said that officials initially believed the landslide had buried 18 people, but rescuers have since found 15 bodies and 6 injured survivors. The landslide was caused by flash flooding on a mountain which destroyed the guest house. More than 300 emergency personnel were sent to the scene. China has suffered a summer of extreme weather, with flash floods in the north and southwest killing at least 20 people this month. Scientists said climate change is making extreme weather more frequent and intense, and China is the world's largest emitter of greenhouse gases. French Minister of Transport Patrice Vergriete said the country's high-speed train network was back to normal again on Monday morning, 3 days after coordinated sabotage heavily disrupted travel before the 2024 Olympics opening ceremony. According to an AFP report, the network gradually returned to normal over the weekend following repairs. Vergriete said the 3 arson attacks on strategic points of French rail infrastructure affected 800,000 travelers, but in the end, 700,000 were able to make their trips. He expected the incident would likely cost millions of euros. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on eyeing opportunities to promote world peace through the Paris Olympics. I'm Dalat Pane. Paris Olympics officially opened on Friday, local time. The opening ceremony was held ambitiously, with nearly 7,000 people parading on 85 boats along the Seine River for 5.6 kilometers past historical monuments in the French capital. For the first time in Olympic history, the opening ceremony took place outside the main stadium, with around 300,000 people watching live from specially built stands on the riverbanks. Meanwhile, another 200,000 watched from balconies and apartments overlooking it. This year's Olympic and Paralympic posters will be one unity, featuring the symbols of the host country and depicting the competition theme, which means "Let's open the games." This theme aims to present a more responsible, inclusive, equal competition and spectacular competition. The Olympics 2024 also feature a unique and meaningful mascot. The Anthropomorphosis region hat was chosen as the mascot to represent the French spirit of freedom and independence. The Phrygian cap is an iconic hat worn by the French allegorical figure Marianne, which symbolizes freedom. This mascot not only encourages athletes, but also becomes a symbol that reflects France's identity and values. The Paris Olympics is joined by participants from 206 countries competing in 329 games from 45 sports branches, with the second highest number of medals in Olympic history. The 2024 Paris Olympics are not just about games, but also about unity, diversity, and celebrating the human spirit in pursuing dreams and achieving achievements. Even though it has been scheduled, the Paris Olympics this time are being held in the midst of an unfavorable world situation. The unfinished Ukrainian-Russian war and the Hamas-Israel conflict are the two examples most highlighted by the world citizens at the moment. There is great hope that holding the Paris Olympics, even though it does not directly touch on resolving the war, can spread the message of peace and unity in the world community. This sportsmanship should be spread to the entire world community, not only in supporting competitions, but also at the negotiating table and high-level international meetings. All parties to the conflict should emulate the spirit of sportsmanship shown by the athletes competing in the Paris Olympics. Wishfully, the spirit of sportsmanship of the Paris Olympic athletes can be an inspiration to create world peace and resolve endless conflicts. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Begin today in history with an event on July 29, 1947 about the first Indonesian Air Force attack on Dutch base. On July 29, 1947, six Indonesian aviator cadets Mulyono Dul Rahman, Sutarjo Sikit, Sutarjo Suharnoko Harpani, and Kaput launched airstrikes against Dutch military bases in Semarang Salatiga and Ambarawa. This was a counterattack by the Republic of Indonesia Air Force after the Dutch military aggression on July 21, 1947. On the same day, Dutch P-40 Kitty Hawk aircraft counterattacked a Dakota VTCLA aircraft carrying medical donation from the Malayan Red Cross to the Indonesian Red Cross. The attack caused the aircraft to suffer and crash in Ngoto village, 3 kilometers south of Yogyakarta. Among the casualties were Air Commodore Adi Sucipto, Air Commodore Abdul Rahman Saleh and Air Officers Adi Sumarmo. These two fights became the basis for establishing July 29 as Hari Bhakti or Devotion Day of the Indonesian National Army of Air Force. Let's move on to the next event. In 1958, when the United States National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, was founded. On July 29, 1958, United States President Dwight David Eisenhower passed the National Aeronautics and Space Administration Act. This authorization marked the establishment of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA. Since its founding, most U.S. space exploration has been led by NASA, including the moon landing missions Apollo, the Skylab space station, and Space Shuttle. NASA was founded with the aim of prioritizing the needs of civilians over the military and is used as a peace program in space science. NASA science is focused on better understanding on Earth, advancing heliophysics, exploring the entire solar system with unmanned space mission, and researching astrophysical topics. The agency officially became operational on October 1, 1958. We end today in history with 1947 event, when ENIAC, the world's first fully electronic digital computer, operated. ENIAC, which stands for Electronic Numerical Integrator and Computer, was the first full electronic computer designed to be Turing complete, which is able to be reprogrammed by rearranging the wires in order to solve any kinds of calculation problems. The ENIAC was developed and built by U.S. Army for their Ordnance Research Laboratory with the purpose of calculating weapons firing tables. ENIAC was designed by J. Presper Eckert and John William Macleay of the University of Pennsylvania. The computer began construction on May 17, 1943 as a Project PX and was built at the Moore School of Electrical Engineering since mid-1944. After a brief period of unofficial operation on July 29, 1947, ENIAC resumed continuous operation until 23:45 on October 2,
yang ada di hatimu tak dapat ku sangsikan. Ternyata dirinya lah yang mengerti kamu, bukanlah diriku. Kini maafkanlah aku bila ku menjadi bisu kepada dirimu. Bukan santunku terbungkam, hanya hatiku berbatas untuk mengerti kamu. Maafkanlah aku. Menyanjungmu yang lama menyentuhmu, bukan. aku harus merawat.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia is entitled Indonesia to Introduce Family Office for Social Enterprises. The Indonesian Ministry of Law and Human Rights has announced that Indonesia will implement a Family Office Investment Scheme or Family-Based Fund Management suitable for social entrepreneurship or social enterprise. Cahyo Muzhar, Director General of the General Legal Administration of the Ministry of Law and Human Rights, said that the establishment of family offices in Indonesia will be implemented in October this year, in line with the plan of the Directorate General of General Legal Administration to establish social enterprises. Cahyo Muzhar, quoted by Antara News Agency on Friday, said in a written statement that social enterprise is considered to be suitably developed in Indonesia, especially by adopting what the United Arab Emirates has implemented. He explained that in the United Arab Emirates, there are global super-rich philanthropists who are interested in placing their funds in social enterprises for social business and other non-profit activities. Cahyo Muzhar said that when he accompanied Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhur Binsar Panjaitan to the United Arab Emirates for a meeting with relevant authorities some time ago, the plan to establish a family office in Indonesia was discussed. The management of family-based funds can be done by creating an international business ecosystem landscape that is comprehensive, integrated, and provides ease of investment, including legal infrastructure and institutional infrastructure. After the visit, the Indonesian delegates also saw the application of the common law system in an investment ecosystem, which can be done by emulating the system implemented by the United Arab Emirates. Cahyo Muzhar said that common law, in this case, takes the form of adopting and modifying regulations on business entities, taxation, financial services, and immigration to suit the local context and the Indonesian interests. The Indonesian government, under the direction of President Joko Widodo, is planning to establish a family office in the country. A family office is an institution or company that manages and looks after the finances of wealthy families. The main purpose of a family office is to provide centralized financial and investment services tailored to long-term financial needs and goals. The government believes that family offices will attract wealthy investors to place their money in Indonesia. That was My Indonesia Today.
Cong mampu strike back to the town. You can like kulihat yang kau sembunyikan. Pura-pura diam dengan sedikit gerak perlahan. Jadi
move on with the groove.
Everybody yo,
move on with the groove.
Percuma saja diam berdiri, nanti sampai rumah malah pengen denger lagi
ya terus saja.
Jika begini jadi ngetusias senja. Jika lo kau nanti lebih tinggi dari raja, nikmati hidup dengan pelangkon di kepala. Memang tak lebih hebat dari pengawal solo. Apalagi jika kau dengar alunan gesang. Tapi please dong ayam dengar jangan parno. Lebih baik kita semua ikut
oke.
Cinta.
tambah asik juga. One more time.
Jiki one, jiki two.
Nikmati aja, protesnya disimpan dulu. Kolaborasi hebat 2007. Kocok rap rocku.
Jadi maju.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Well, listeners, today's episode of Indonesian Wonder will take you to Lake Faramu in Papua. Listener, West Papua is not just Raja Ampat. There are many amazing destinations from the western tip of Papua. The province, whose capital is Manokwari, has an array of tourist attractions. One of them is Lake Faramu, a hidden paradise in Papua. There are only a few people know about the existence of this lake because it is in the middle of the forest. Lake Faramu, located in Ayamaru, Maibrat Regency, West Papua Province, is so clean and beautiful because the locals take care of it. Lake Faramu has many kinds of fish that are often caught by the locals for their daily meals. Although it's incredibly beautiful, be careful if you want to swim in this lake. The calm water is a sign that the lake is quiet, deep. It is said that the depth of this lake can reach 6 meters. However, you can swim at the edge of the lake or just dip your feet and walk on the rocks that are clearly visible from the edge of the lake. Lake Faramu City can be reached by public transportation from Sorong in about 4 to 5 hours. The road to this lake is quite difficult, because not all routes are through smooth paved highways. Almost all of the roads are small, bumpy and rocky. The conditions of the road makes Lake Faramu is rarely visited by both local and international tourists. That's Indonesian Wonder for today. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is about di bau-bau, which means in bau-bau. You will listen to a conversation about berjam-jam, which means 4 hours. Chris, a vlogger from Australia, was talking to another passenger at Beto Ambari Airport on their trip to Bali through Makassar. Chris told the passenger that he has been waiting for the plane for hours. Well, let's listen to the conversation.
Kata petugas bandara Beto Ambari, pesawat terlambat datang karena cuaca buruk. Bapak sudah menunggu lama?
Saya sudah menunggu berjam-jam. Semoga cuaca segera membaik.
Iya, semoga pesawat kita segera tiba. Tujuan Bapak ke Makassar?
Iya.
After listening to the conversation, here is some vocab and expressions related to today's topic. Berjam-jam, which means 4 hours. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Saya, which means I. Menunggu, which means wait. Berjam-jam, which means 4 hours. Saya sudah menunggu berjam-jam. Which means, I have been waiting for hours. Petugas, which means officer. Terlambat, which means late. Cuaca buruk, which means bad weather. Menunggu lama, which means wait for long. Semoga, which means hopefully. Segera membaik, which means gets better soon. Pesawat, which means aircraft. Tiba, which means arrive. Tujuan, which means destination. Makassar, which means Makassar. In this conversation, you have heard the expression, Saya sudah menunggu berjam-jam, which means I have been waiting for hours. In here, there is the word or the phrase berjam-jam, which means 4 hours. It means several hours have passed. In the conversation, the expression was used to tell that a person has been waiting for the planes for so many hours. And here is another example or use of expression to say something about time. Berhari-hari, which means many days. Dari Jakarta ke kota Bau-Bau, penumpang feri perlu waktu berhari-hari. Dari Jakarta ke kota Bau-Bau, penumpang feri perlu berhari-hari. Which means, from Jakarta to Bau-Bau, ferry passengers take many days. Berminggu-minggu, which means many weeks. Paket Kris belum sampai selama berminggu-minggu. Paket Kris belum sampai selama berminggu-minggu. Which means Kris's package is not delivered for many weeks.
For your information, Beto Ambari Airport is located in Paubau, Southeast Sulawesi. It was built in 1976 as a pioneer flight. And currently, Beto Ambari Airport is one of the access or the gateway that connects tourism destinations of Wakatobi Islands with the capital city of South Sulawesi, namely Makassar City. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Kata petugas Bandara Beto Ambari, pesawat terlambat datang karena cuaca buruk. Bapak sudah menunggu lama?
Saya sudah menunggu berjam-jam. Semoga cuaca segera membaik.
Iya, semoga pesawat kita segera tiba. Tujuan Bapak ke Makassar?
Iya. Listener, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about berjam-jam. Berjam-jam, which means 4 hours. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Nuansa Bening by Afifah. The song, which had been sung by Ahmad Dhani, was previously sung by Fidi Aldianos, released on December 24, 2008. In fact, Nuansa Bening is not Fidi Aldianos' original song. He covered an old song created and popularized by Kina Nasution and his gang. This song describes the feeling of love that grows gradually toward someone who seems ordinary at first. The first time you meet, there are no special feelings. However, as time goes by and you get to know them better, you start to find special things about them. Well, listener, here is Afifah with the keroncong song Nuansa Bening. Enjoy!
Sampai
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fanpage, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.